As you think about warfare, perhaps your mind goes back to ISIS. If you spend any time listening to the news, we understand the war that is going on right now against ISIS. Or perhaps as you think about the word warfare, maybe your mind goes back to the Iraq War. Maybe even further, the Vietnam War, the Cold War, perhaps World War II or World War I. But there's another war that I want to talk to you about this morning. And it's a spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare that we are in is real. A lot of times people have a hard time understanding the nature of this spiritual warfare because they cannot see it with their own eyes. Thus, we're emphasizing the war that we are in is a spiritual warfare. And this spiritual warfare is real. It is happening. And it will continue to go on as long as this earth exists. And so as New Testament Christians, we need to understand that we are at war. And the war that we are in and the war that we are fighting, that we are battling in, is a spiritual warfare. The Bible uses this terminology of warfare. Because God wants us to understand the fight that is going on between righteousness and unrighteousness. Between that which is good and that which is wrong. That which is holy versus that which is unholy. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to use 2 Corinthians chapter 10 as a way of introduction, and we're going to work our way backwards to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verses 13 and 14. But I want to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 down through verse number 5. I want to read these verses, and then I want to highlight three different words, three different concepts that we see in this text that remind us of the spiritual warfare that we are in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse number 3, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." There's the word that we're highlighting in our lesson this morning. We are at war. Paul was writing about that war that's still going on even today, that spiritual warfare. And so he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." The war that we're in, again, is not a carnal warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. Paul would go on to say in verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The first word that I want you to highlight with me this morning as a way of introduction to our lesson is the word war. As I said, we are at war. And it is a spiritual warfare. You can circle that word war, and you might write out 1 Peter 2 verse number 11 where the Apostle Peter says that we are to abstain from the fleshly lusts, listen to it, which war against our soul. Again, which war against our soul. Or you might write down 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 18, where Paul is encouraging Timothy to war a good warfare. Timothy, you're at war. And it's a spiritual warfare. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to engage himself in the spiritual warfare. Later on in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he'll encourage Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, to endure the hardness of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What is Paul doing? Again, he's reminding Timothy of the war that is at hand, the spiritual warfare that we are in. I want to turn to another context. You may hold your spot there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but turn over, if you would, to the book of Revelation. We don't turn to the book of Revelation enough. It's a great book that speaks about this warfare that we are in. And really, it gives us one of the best pictures of this spiritual warfare. Our brethren were at war. And our brethren, many of them were losing their lives during this warfare. They weren't losing their salvation. They weren't losing their eternal destiny. They weren't losing their soul, but they were losing their life. And the book of Revelation is written to encourage all Christians to fight the good fight, to be that good soldier, to war that good warfare, to be victorious over the enemy. And that is really the message of the book of Revelation. We have victory through Jesus Christ. And God essentially says this in the book of Revelation: you overcome Satan, self, and sin. And God says you can come over and live with me forever. That's what we have in the warfare. We have victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here in Revelation 12, Revelation 13, we read about the nature of that spiritual warfare. We read about the enemy, the devil, that is very active in this warfare. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. We see that the dragon, the devil, made war with the seed of woman. He was defeated in that battle, Hebrews 2, verse number 14. You remember, Jesus destroyed the power of the devil by being raised from the dead. And so, when the devil lost that war with the seed of woman, Jesus Christ, look at what the devil does in verse number 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's you and me, by the way. That's speaking of Christians, which, listen to it, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, then you're at war with the devil. And the devil hates you. The devil is the enemy. And the devil is going to do everything that he can to destroy you, spiritually speaking. And so when we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, the war that we're in is real. And we need to remember that it is a spiritual warfare. And what the devil wants more than anything is to destroy you, to destroy me. He wants us to lose our soul. And so as we think about this spiritual warfare, we're talking about the spiritual warfare that is against our soul, that we are fighting, that we are striving to endure, that we're striving to be victorious in. Look, go back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When you go back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we see that we're at war. We also see in verse number 4 that we have weapons. Now, when we hear the word weapons, a lot of us get excited. I know Cole gets excited when he hears about weapons. He has all kinds of sticks and knives and swords, and he already has a gun collection. And I know that our minds are so used to going back thinking about weapons of warfare in a carnal way. But we see from the context here that the weapons of our warfare, the spiritual warfare that we are in, again, it's not a carnal warfare where we use weapons, where we use swords, our spears, our guns, our bombs. It's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 speak about the Christian armor that we wear. Ephesians 6 speak about the weapons of our warfare. And again, when you read Ephesians 6 along with 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we understand that the weapons that God provides are spiritual in nature. And Ephesians chapter 6 helps us understand that the sword that we carry is not a literal sword, but it is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, Paul says, is the Word of God. The weapons that God supplies us with can all be found right here in the Word of God. Everything that we need to defend ourselves, spiritually speaking, against the enemy can be found right here in the Word of God. And Paul is encouraging us to equip ourselves, spiritually speaking, so that we will engage in this spiritual warfare. And so we are to gird our loins about with truth. We are to put on that breastplate of righteousness. We are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We are to put on the helmet of salvation. We are to take the shield of faith. We are to use the sword of the Spirit again, which is the Word of God. And do you realize that through the Word of God, we gain wisdom in the spiritual warfare? Solomon has a lot to say about wisdom. In Proverbs 4, verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. As we study and as we grow in a knowledge of God's Word, we grow in wisdom. In fact, we will see that knowledge and wisdom are closely related. Some have described wisdom as the application of knowledge. And so we grow in knowledge, and thus when we make application of knowledge, Colossians 4 verse 5 says this, we walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. And that's what we need to do as we're at war in this spiritual warfare. We need to learn to walk in wisdom. And the only way that we will learn to walk in wisdom is by allowing God to guide us through His Word. But I love what Solomon says about wisdom in Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 10, because it pertains to the warfare that we're in. And Solomon says this, wisdom is better than weapons of war. I like that. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. You know, there are a lot of people, and there are a lot of brethren, physically speaking, they're prepared for war. They are prepared for a physical attack. I know some good brethren, if war ever broke out, I know whose house I'm going to. I mean, there are brethren and there are people throughout the world. I mean, they are ready for a physical attack. But what's sad is, there are so many in the world who are prepared for this physical attack, but they're not doing anything about the spiritual warfare that we are in. And some people, and perhaps even some brethren, are better prepared for a physical attack than they are a spiritual one. And oh, we need to think about that. We need to think about which war is more important. The spiritual warfare is important. It's more important than any physical warfare that is going on in the world or that has ever gone on in the world. That is the warfare that we need to be focused on. that we need to be thinking about. Satan is making war with the people of God. And throughout the New Testament, we are encouraged to war a good warfare, to properly prepare ourselves for battle. There is a war, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We do have weapons, 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. But notice this other phrase that you see in verse 4, going down into verse number 5. Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." Notice this phrase, "to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Pulling down or tearing down strongholds. Again, keep it in the context, spiritually speaking. Spiritual war comes in two ways. Number one, offensive warfare. Number two, defensive warfare. Now think about that. Offensive warfare. Number two, defensive warfare. If you write in your Bible, you may underline that phrase, "to the pulling or the tearing down of strongholds," and write out offensive warfare. Offensive warfare is pulling down or tearing down the strongholds that the devil has put or formed in your mind through deception and, number two, false accusations. You can see from verse number 5 that the battle that we're talking about is in the mind. And so again, offensive warfare is tearing down the strongholds the enemy has formed in our minds through deception and accusations, false accusations. In Revelation 12, verse 10, context that we were just in, talking about that spiritual warfare. In Revelation 12, verse 10, we learn that the devil makes accusations against the brethren. One of the greatest examples that really comes to mind is when you look at the false accusations that the devil made against Job. He is the false accuser of the brethren. And you think about the deception that he uses. That's how sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3. He was deceived through a lie. The devil, John 8 verse 44, is a murderer. He's the father of lies. He deceives so many people today. And so again, the offensive warfare is pulling down strongholds. But we also see, number two, defensive warfare is guarding yourself against the tactics, the schemes, the strategies of the devil. Look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel." Look at another example in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're working our way backwards to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So in the spiritual warfare, there are times we are on the offensive. We're casting down evil imaginations. There are times where we're on the defensive. We are guarding ourselves against the tactics, the evil schemes of the devil. Because it's through his strategies, it's through his methods that he makes war with the people of God. It's through his methods, his strategies, that he tries to destroy us, spiritually speaking. And so we can see already that we are at war. And spiritually speaking, we do have weapons to equip ourselves spiritually speaking. And Paul talks about those weapons here even in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. With that said, let me invite you now to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we continue to discuss the spiritual warfare that we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, Paul gives us five principles that will help us engage in the spiritual warfare. And the five principles that we're going to be looking at, they can help us whether we are trying to offend or whether we're on the offensive or whether we are trying to defend ourselves. Whatever is going on in the spiritual warfare that we find ourselves in, the principles that Paul outlines here beginning at verse number 13, can help us engage in the spiritual warfare. And they can help us become victorious over the enemy. Now what we're going to do, as I said, there are five. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at two with the remainder of our time. And Lord willing, when we come back this evening, I want to invite everyone to come back this evening to hear the rest of the story. To look at the last three points concerning this spiritual warfare. Remember what I said. The war that we're in right now, the spiritual warfare that we're in right now is the most important. And we need to know how to defend ourselves. We need to know how to stand against the wiles of the devil because he wants to take advantage of us. And so notice how Paul begins. In verse number 13, remember he's concluding his first letter to the Corinthians. And we see that the Corinthians misunderstood the spiritual warfare that they were in. You can read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and you can see that their minds certainly weren't engaged in the spiritual. Their minds were focused on the carnal. Paul brings that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In every chapter of the book, Paul deals with some kind of problem. You see, the devil was making war with the congregation at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5, you had a man in the congregation that was living in fornication. The brethren weren't doing anything about it. And so as we think about the spiritual warfare that we're in, Paul comes to the close of that letter. And notice the principles that he lays out. Number one, he says, watch. Some translations, he says, be vigilant. Watch. Be vigilant. The idea is be on guard. Be alert. This really reminds us of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober. Be watchful or be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion is walking about seeking whom he may devour. You see, friends, as we think about this spiritual warfare that we're in, we're fighting against the devil. And Peter says you need to be alert. Paul says you need to be watchful. You need to be on guard. The idea literally means you need to be awake as opposed to being asleep. Now I want you to think about that. Paul is saying, I want you to be awake, spiritually speaking. And Paul uses this terminology not only here in the book of 1 Corinthians, but in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6, Paul says, let us not sleep as do others. Now again, Paul is not speaking in a physical sense. We understand how important physical sleep is. Paul again is saying, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be awake. Let us be on guard. Let us be alert, spiritually speaking. Let me show you another passage. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 13. Paul does the same thing here in Romans chapter 13. Notice with me verse number 11. And that knowing the time, Romans 13 verse number 11. This terminology is found throughout the New Testament. That tells me that we need to be reminded of how important it is to be on guard, to be alert, to be awake, spiritually speaking. Now listen to what Paul says. And that knowing the time, that it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. When you consider what Paul is saying in the book of Romans, what Paul is saying in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we can conclude that there were some Christians that were taking a siesta, spiritually speaking. Taking a siesta. Spiritually speaking, their eyes were closed. And we understand in a physical warfare at night how important it is to be on guard. Because a lot of times that's when the enemy will try to sneak up on you and attack you when nobody's watching. And so in the physical warfare, you set guards around the camp. And I've never been in the service, but I know a lot of people have. And if you fall asleep when you're on guard, you can get in a lot of trouble. Right, Brother Kaufman? A lot of trouble. Because it's important to be awake, to be alert, to be on guard, to guard the camp, if you please. Well, spiritually speaking, we can't find ourselves taking a siesta. Spiritually speaking, we need to wake up. We need to be on guard. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 34, we need to awake to righteousness. We need to wake up. We need to be on alert. We need to be prepared for the devil's temptations. We need to be ready for the deceptions that he will throw at us. We need to be ready to cast down the false accusations. Remember, the devil is the tempter. That's why we need to be on guard. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, Paul says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." What is Paul encouraging these Christians and us to do? Don't ever put down your guard. Be ready for temptation. Jesus said in Mark 14, verse 38, "Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation." I like what Jesus said. And if you think about what Jesus is saying, watch, same idea, and pray. Jesus is encouraging us to be spiritually minded. Jesus isn't saying that we're never going to be tempted. We know we're going to be tempted. But we know when we're spiritually minded, we can take that way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13. We can overcome temptation. And so spiritually speaking, in this warfare, number one, we need to be on guard. We need to be alert. We need to wake up. We need to watch out for Satan, the devil. We need to watch out, be on guard for temptation, spiritual apathy, false teaching. Again, this is how the devil is going to make his attacks. But if we're awake, if we're watching, if we're alert, spiritually speaking, we will be ready. And the devil won't catch us off guard. But that's what he does a lot of times. He catches us off guard because spiritually speaking, we are asleep when we need to wake up. Number two, as Paul continues in verse number 13, Paul says number two in this spiritual warfare, this will be the last one for this morning, you stand firm. I like what he says. You stand fast in the faith. The idea is this. You demonstrate your allegiance to God. The word stance, takeo, means to drive a stake into the ground. Again, I like that terminology. God is encouraging us as His people in this spiritual warfare to hold your ground. Because of the movies, because of the magazines and books, as we think about physical warfare, we see that imagery. When the captain is encouraging the troops to hold their ground, they come together, they insulate one another, and they stand and they fight and they hold their ground, spiritually speaking. God wants us to hold our ground. Do you realize that we pledge our allegiance to Him when we are doers of the Word and not simply hearers? James 1 verse 22. Oh, you can fill this lesson with so many different Bible passages like James chapter 1 verse 22, and you see how they apply across the board to the spiritual warfare that we are in. Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 17, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Again, spiritually speaking, Paul was going to stand fast in the faith. He was going to stand up for the Word of God. He wasn't ashamed of the Word of God. He encourages Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. Timothy, don't be afraid. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. And then he turns around and says in verse number 8, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions. Timothy, don't be afraid to suffer for the gospel. You stand fast in the faith. You stand firm. You demonstrate your allegiance like Joshua did long ago in Joshua 24, verse number 15. For as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Like Paul in 2 Timothy 1, verse number 12. For I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I committed to Him against that day. You know, when we look at this second point, stand fast in the faith, what we're talking about is conviction. And what the Lord's church needs more than ever is conviction. To stand up for what you believe. To stand up for the truth of God's Word. What happens so many times, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, you can see the language. People are tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine. So many just go with the wind. Whatever the world says, well, that's the way they're going to go. But not the children of God. In fact, in verse 15, Paul says to the brethren there, you need to grow up. You need to wake up. You need to grow up. And you need to be spiritually minded. And you need to take a stand for truth. For the Word of God. Oh, what the church needs more than ever today is some backbone. The church, 1 Timothy 3 verse 15, is the pillar and ground of truth. We see in Jude verse number 3 that we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto all. You know, I like that context because you really see what Jude was wanting to write about. You read that book, and before he encourages the brethren to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude says, I want to write about the common salvation that's found in Christ Jesus. And I love talking about salvation. But we see that there is more to talk about than the ABCs of Christianity. How a person becomes a Christian. As Christians, we need to learn to stand up for God's Word. And that's why Jude was writing. Oh, he wanted to write about the common salvation, but he found that it was more necessary to encourage the brethren to stand fast in the faith, to take a stand, to hold their ground, to stand up for the Word of God. We need to stand up for the basic principles of Christianity, the plan of salvation. We need to stand up for what the Bible teaches about baptism and the necessity of baptism. We need to stand up for what God's Word teaches about the design of the home, going all the way back to what we read in the book of Genesis. And that hasn't changed over time. One man, one woman, one life. And God gives one exception. And you read about that in Matthew chapter 19. But you and I both know how the world is trying to change that. I saw something very sad on a commercial, and it just dawned on me. I'm a little slow at seeing things on TV. I don't know why. But I saw something in my mind for the first time. And I wanted to throw that TV right out the door. There was a commercial of Zales selling wedding rings. Beautiful wedding rings. And in that commercial, you know, they had two women standing there, first time I've ever seen it, getting married. And then they had the traditional, the man and the woman getting married. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I don't know if that's first time they put that out, but you see more and more of that. And what we need to do is stand up for God's Word and hold true to what God's Word teaches about the home and about marriage. You know, a lot of people want to jump on their bandwagon and talk about homosexuality, but they turn around and will condone adultery. Adultery is just as bad as homosexuality. And our world is struggling in this area. So many people you come across today, you find out real quick that they're in adultery. And when you have to talk to those individuals and reason with those individuals, it'll be the hardest thing you ever done. But you've got to stand true to the Word of God. You can't be ashamed of what God's Word teaches about marriage, divorce, about anything. Jesus said in John 8, verse 38, and we'll end with this. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you. Do you see why Paul is encouraging these brethren here to wake up, to be on guard, to be on alert? And do you see why he's encouraging these brethren to take a stand for what is right? Solomon said long ago, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Friends, let's not sell the truth. Let's buy it. Let's preach it. Let's live by it. The Word of God is powerful. And we will see how that Word tonight can protect us when we stand fast in the faith. That Word has transforming power. I realize the majority of this audience is made up of New Testament Christians. People who've already obey the gospel. But we have to be reminded, just because we become a Christian doesn't mean we're automatically going to go to heaven. We have to be faithful to God. We have to stay on alert all of the time, spiritually speaking. We have to stand up for what is right. We need to be courageous, like we will see tonight. We need to be men. We need to be strong. We need to do all things in love. Oh, the principles that Paul sets forth in this context can be very helpful to all of us as we engage in the spiritual warfare. As I said at the beginning of the lesson, ultimately the war has already been won. Won by our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we go through this life and as we fight the good fight, as we battle against the enemy, there are occasions where we may lose the battle. But if we're faithful, ultimately we will win the war. And the victory is what we have to think about. And where we find that victory, we find it through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should never lose sight of God's love, His grace, His mercy, all that God has done for us through His Son. That is the only reason why you and I at the end could be victorious like Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. While on earth, Paul encouraged others to do what he had done, to stand fast in the faith. Are you awake, spiritually speaking? Are you standing firm for what is right, spiritually speaking? Oh, this morning is an opportunity really for all of us to think about our eternal salvation in this warfare. And if we're not right with the Lord, this morning is an opportunity for all of us to get